The scripture reading for the lesson is Romans chapter 13, verse 11. Romans 13, 11. Do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now is salvation is nearer to us than when we believed.
I hope I flip the switch the right way. If not, somebody holler at me and I'll flip it the other way. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is indeed good for us to be here together with one another to sing songs of praise to our God, to pray to Him, to study His Word. It is my hope that you will be edified this morning, built up and strengthened, so that we may all go out into the world. I'm going to have to get rid of these trifocals. Me and them don't get along too well yet. That we may be profitable servants of Him. The title of my lesson this morning is Our Broken Timex Watches. And I'll explain that in a little bit. I don't think any of us would disagree. We live in a most perilous time. Especially spiritual. It was God's will that we all speak the same thing. And I think I'm going to mention that again in a minute, but I'm getting ahead of myself here. Did you realize that there are over 40,000 different faiths, different denominations, different beliefs, different everything? We've chopped ourselves up into little pieces and then wonder why we are not succeeding in following God's word, in spreading God's word. We all have to remember that physically we have problems in this world. There are wars, there's famine, there's disease, there are racial hatred, there are even killings in the name of God's name, for heaven's sake. We, in the religious world now, have succeeded in chopping ourselves up so that anybody who's on the outside saying, how can God be behind any of this when you have 30,000 different beliefs, different doctrines, different everything? And I understand that. What we need to do is to remember that if we will just open up God's word, read it, and do what it's... I know that sounds overly simplistic, but just do what it says. We will all believe alike. We will all worship God alike. But we all, regardless of our division, we all have one common problem. Sin. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. But we need to remember that there is one common remedy for sin as well. And that's our Lord and Savior. That's why He died. Death has always been the penalty for sin. But He paid it. Being God's sinless Son, His death had the value, the importance that allowed Him to suffer death for us so that we won't have to do that. Oh, we're all going to die someday here. Some of it's a little closer than others. What's the old expression? The day of our salvation is nearer than when we first believed, brethren. But that's fact of life. This is the message, though, that Jesus is the cure for every type of spiritual disease there is. Jesus is the cure. And this is the message that we all need to share with everybody. Like I said a little bit ago, there are, depending upon which source you check, between 31 and 40,000 different denominations. In this world, It's like, well, it's like the branch of a tree. I used to be a Methodist when I was a kid, so I'll pick on them, all right? This is the Methodist church. This is the trunk of a tree. This is the Methodist church. And then you get up here, and there are four or five branches of that. And then you get out here, and there's three, four, five, six branches of that. And before you know it, we have chopped ourselves up into so many little pieces, it is no wonder why those outside of Christ look at us and think that Christianity is a bunch of junk. We have modern day revelations today. Well, God said this to me, or God said that to me. Turn with me to Jude 3, would you please? I'm going to be reading out of the New King James, so if my version reads a little bit different, that's where I am. Jude verse 3, Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. The faith. He didn't say faiths. Plural. He didn't say that there are a bunch of them. There is one faith, one body of belief, and it was delivered one time for everybody. There are no modern, a lot of religious groups today. Well, I was driving down the road and a big spotlight shone down and God gave me this. Doesn't work that way. If it does, then this verse is wrong. And if this verse is wrong, we can't take any of the Bible for what it says, can we? If one part of it is wrong, then we can't trust any of it. But this verse is right. The world today, or this country, and I thank God for the USA. I really do. We live in a country that allows us to meet. A lot of countries, if you don't believe in the straight religion, you're out of there. I think I mentioned the last time I was up here, we had a teacher who had friends in Russia, members of the Lord's body in Russia, communist, atheist Russia. This was back in the days of the Cold War, brethren. And they had to meet in secret. They would just gradually drift into someone's house, and then they would meet together for a little while, and then they had to leave one at a time so nobody got suspicious. But we have the right to meet here. The world also says, but I have the right to worship and believe as I choose. I can believe anything. If I want to believe that God's a tree, I can believe God's a tree. It doesn't matter. I even heard a guy say one time, well, this is the way I am, and God's just going to have to accept me this way. No, I don't think so. God will accept us his way. We need to conform to him, not him conforming to us. So we need to realize how important it is. One of our favorite movies is the movie Steel Magnolias. I don't know. Every time we see that it's on, we watch it again. We probably watch it. We could almost mouth the words with everybody in the dialogue, you know. But there's one line in there where one of the gals is inviting the younger gal, the young blonde-headed, I can't remember her name. But anyway, she said, why don't you come worship with us? And she knew that that group believed differently than they do. And she said, well, I don't know. And she... The gal says, Oh, don't worry about it. God don't care what you believe as long as you show up. I'm sorry, God does care what we believe. He cares what we teach. If he didn't, he wouldn't have taken a total of about 1,600 years of history and used between 38 and 40 different writers, depending upon some of the letters of the Bible are not, the author is not listed, but by the style of writing, we can pretty well tell. But he's put all these things together so that we would know what his will is. But while, as I said a minute ago, nothing is trouble for God. Nothing is trouble for him. But why would he take all those years, 400, 600 years from the time the early books were actually written down, not talking about when they happened, but when they were actually written down, codified, put in a book, and used between 38 and 40 different writers, inspire them so they all spoke the same thing, if it didn't matter what we believe? Now, does that make any sense at all when you stop and think about it? We have chopped ourselves, we the religious world, have chopped ourselves up into so many little pieces. Turn with me, if you will, please, in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'm just going to read verse 33, but follow along. I'm reading out of the New King James. I printed all this out of the New King James, as I said. Paul makes a plain statement. Now, sometimes we say, well, I don't understand what he was trying to get at. You don't get much plainer than this. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Now, brethren, if God is not the author of confusion, if he's not the one behind it, and the Christian world today is a very confusing place, who does that leave? What other spiritual force is there? There are two. There's God and there's the devil. And if God didn't do it, guess who that leaves? That's why we, as I mentioned, we have people who are outside of Christ. Some of them don't even believe. And they look at the religious world and say, how can God be behind that? Well, there's a very simple answer. He's not. He's not behind it. In Isaiah chapter 1, let me find it here. There it is. Isaiah chapter 1, first part of verse 18, God comes to Isaiah the prophet, and he says, come down. Let us reason together. Let's sit down and think about this. Reason it out for yourselves. What we say when we looked at the fact that there's all these different beliefs is that, hello, I'm sorry. These newfangled gadgets are still kind of new to me, that we need to understand and teach that we all can understand the New Testament alike. We can sit down and read it, doesn't matter whether it's King James, New King James, New International, New American Standard, whatever it is, the Old American Standard, doesn't matter what it is. It's all going to say the same thing. We need religiously to sit down and realize that we are together in this. I had one guy even tell me, well, why should I read the Bible when nobody can understand it alike? Good point. The only problem is, like I said, all we need to do is sit down, read it, and not put any spin on it. Well, but our group believes, or my pastor, my reverend or whoever says, but that doesn't matter. What matters is what God says. If the New Testament says do that, then we need to do that. If it says don't do that, then we don't do that. And it really, a lot of it is just that simple. And if we don't know how to do that, follow the examples, because the New Testament is full of them. I had one fellow tell me, but I don't know what there is that I can do. Now, a lot of brethren that I've known in the past anyway, like to do the big things, you know. I got to admit, I love being able to preach the word. I love being able to share with you. Same thing with teaching in Bible class. But there are a lot of other ways we can serve God. We always say, well, don't sweat the small stuff, brethren. Sometimes we need to sweat the small stuff. It can be as simple as, well, I heard my neighbor was having a problem. And they've been sick for a little while. So take them something to eat. Take him a meal without needing to be asked. Show kindness to other people. Show love to everyone we meet. This world is not a very nice place. There are wars and rumors of wars, and that's been going on forever. Why? Because Satan has gotten into the minds of everybody and chopped us all up. So that if you don't believe the way I do, you're my enemy. If you don't believe the way I do, okay, let's sit down and see what God's word says. And if I'm wrong, I'll change. But if you're wrong, you can change. So that we can all speak the same thing. I say, yeah, well, I know there's things I should be doing, but I don't studied in the home. I don't know what I'd say. Okay, if you don't, take somebody with you. If you have a friend, if you have a relative, if you have a neighbor, you have inroads with them that I don't have because they don't know me. But they know you. They trust you already. So if they agree, I'll be glad to go with you. I'll be glad to go to share what knowledge I have. That may be a little bit limited, but I'll do the best I can. If you don't know, take someone with you. Why does so many listen to Satan today? You got to remember, times have changed, and used to be when, you know, there are no lightning bolts coming down to incinerate us if we stray from the truth. God has left that up to us. So, we need to realize that I have the right to do as God's word says, but the world says, I got the right to do whatever I please. I can obey, I can disobey, I can do whatever I want to do. And the world does give them that right. But just because this country says it's okay, is it okay? Think about this. We have some members of the congregation. I don't think he's able to be here today. But several of us have been in the military. And when when the company commander comes in and says, okay, guys, here's the order of the day, what right does the staff sergeant have to change that? What right does someone of lower rank have to change the order of someone of higher rank? Brethren, God is as high as you can get. So when he says what he wants us to do, when he says how he wants us to do it, then we need to do it. Well, John, I would, like I said a minute ago, I would, but I'm not real sure what to say. Okay, take someone with you. Like I said, they know you. They trust you. They don't know me from boo. But if I am with you, they will trust me more. We are a team, brethren. We are members of the same body. Now, I am living proof. My kidneys have shown me, and so has my heart, that when a little part of my body stops working, it affects the whole thing. Believe me, it affects the whole thing. But when we work together, when our bodies function, when my body systems function correctly, my body works correctly. When we as members of the Lord's body function the way we are supposed to function, God's body functions better also. We need to remember we are all in this together. Now, no one here knows everything. I know Diana's going to tell you that I tell her that all the time, but I honestly don't. Well, at least not where she can hear. No one knows everything. No one can do everything. That's why you have talents that I don't have. I may have talents that you don't have. But when we come together, all of our needs, all of our talents go together so that all of our needs can be met, so that we can do the things that God wants us to do. I mentioned at the start of the sermon, the title of my lesson is Our Broken Timex Watches. And what? Some of us who are as chronologically blessed than others will remember back in the 60s. Yes, there were actually 1960s, brother. And we actually did have TV back then, too. Granted, the screen was about like, well, we won't go. But there was a guy who sold Timex watches. Now, why I remember this guy, John Cameron Swayze would come on the commercials for Timex watches, and they ran those things through every sort of torture test other than laying it on an anvil and smashing it with a sledgehammer that you can think of. I remember one. There was this huge tank, well, about the size of the baptistry, huge tank of water, all plexiglass. They had an outboard motor, for heaven's sake, fastened to one side of that. They went up, strapped that time, showed the watch was, to hold up the camera, showed the watch was running, put it on there, strapped that to the blade of the motor, started that outboard motor, and water just goes everywhere. About 15 seconds later, they stopped the motor, they bring the watch up, and guess what? Timex's slogan was Timex. It keeps a licking and keeps on ticking. Brethren, we need to be like that Timex watch. The devil's going to do everything he can to stop us. He's going to throw everything on our... They're one of our favorite movies. I believe it was An Officer and a Gentleman was the title of it. Anyway, the guy goes into basic training. The DI comes up. Of course, he's got all the new recruits lined up. And he goes, you know, boy, you're a sorry bunch and all that kind of stuff. And then he makes the statement, understand, I will use every means at my disposal, both fair and unfair, to try to trip you up. Brethren, that sounds kind of like Satan today for us, doesn't it? He's going to use anything he can to entice us. He's going to do anything he can to draw us away from the truth, both fair and unfair. Brethren, like the scripture says, we need to do God's will today, while it is called today. Why? Because how many of us here, I do want you to raise your hand, how many of us here have been approached by God and say, okay, I hereby promise you that you have another 10 years to do my will? How many of us have done, how many of us has he done that to? 1 year more. 1 week more. We've not been promised tomorrow, have we? All we have is today. So let's do it today while it is still today. We've all heard the expression, no time like the present. And that's what that means. We will never care for our neighbors more. We will never be better equipped to share the message of the gospel, and it has never been needed more than it is today. But we have the best opportunity to do it today. I still don't understand, John. Your Timex watch is broken. Brethren, we don't know what time it is, do we? I'm sorry. We don't know what time it is. We may have 2 years left. We may have 20 years left. We may have 5 minutes left. Jesus may come back while we're here and bring an end to everything. We don't know. So while it is called today, brethren, we need to go out and do what God says. I'm not trying to preach gloom and doom. I'm really not. But we just don't know how long we have. So I need to do it while I can. And even if we are alive, tomorrow may be the last day for our neighbors, for our friends, for our family members who are not Christians that we haven't talked to yet. Are we not all sons and daughters of God? Are we not all sons and daughters of men? Then we are brethren together. We are brothers and sisters. And brethren, we are our brother's keeper. We really are. In Ezekiel chapter 3, and I'm going to close with this. In Ezekiel chapter 3, there it is. Turn with me. It's about 7 verses. So I'd like for you to read along. Again, I'm going to be reading out of the New King James. Now, it came to pass, because sometimes they say, well, everybody's going to be all right, you know. God's going to change his mind. Oh, come on in. You know, that sort of thing. Now, granted, Ezekiel chapter 3 is in the Old Testament. Ezekiel was an Old Testament prophet. But, brethren, a universal truth is a universal truth, whether it's said in the Old Testament, not as part of the law, or whether it's mentioned in the New Testament. Read this together with me. Ezekiel 3, again, I'm reading out of the New King James. Now it came to pass, at the end of 7 days, that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, are we not all sons and daughters of men? Yep, okay, then he's talking to us. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. Listen to this now. Shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, or from his, I'm sorry, I keep touching that wire, from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, remembers the Lord's body, perhaps, and turns and commits iniquity, I will lay a stumbling block before him, and he shall die. But because you did not give him warning, he shall die in his sins, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered. But his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he repents, and he does not sin, he shall surely live because he took your warning. Also, you will have delivered your soul. Now, like I said, brethren, that's in the Old Testament. But this ain't Old Testament doctrine. This is not part of the law. This is a universal truth that God mentions way back then so mankind would know how we're to live. Some of us, 7 o'clock in the morning and the alarm goes off and we go back to sleep. Because it's hard for us to wake up. Others, the alarm sounds its first ding and we're up, you know. Sometimes it is hard for us to wake up. But brethren, it's time spiritually that we all do. And realize that when Scripture says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, brethren, go ye means go me. Is not the New Testament speaking to us today? Well, yeah, he said it to the apostles. What's the word of, the word apostle means one sent with a message. Here we are. Today, here we are. Now, we are not inspired by the Holy Spirit to do everything that God wants us to do. Today, we have God's word to do that. But we still need to remember, we have a responsibility. A little while back, I sent in a bulletin article called Fire. Remember that? A guy gets up 2:30 in the morning. His mouth's a little dry, so he's stumbling to the kitchen to get a drink of water. Goes by the window in the hallway leading from the bedroom to the kitchen. And in the window, he sees a flickering, a yellow flickering. And he looks outside, opens the curtains, and his neighbor's house is on fire. And now, what's he going to do? Well, really none of my business, so I'm going to go back to bed. And would we do that? We wouldn't do that no more than a man on the moon, brethren. And yet the spiritual houses of our neighbors, of our friends, of some of our family members are on fire. Now, if we're going to warn someone of a of an earthly fire, because we've got to admit being burned to death is probably the most horrible way to die there is. And we want to save them from that pain. But brethren, if we are outside of Christ, we have an eternal fire waiting for us. Is that not at least as important, if not a lot more important, to... I hate that. Quit that. Thank you. Suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. Yes, you are. But are we not all sons and daughters of men? Yes, we are. Then this passage in Ezekiel is talking to us. We need to warn people. Now, they may not heed the warning, but at least we've got to try and do what we can. My efforts may be feeble, brethren, but if they're the best I can do, that's all that matters. When I preached on discipleship a while back, I said, here's God's standard. This is where he wants us to be. Now, I may be here, you may be there, we may be somewhere in between. But if it's the best we can give, God can ask for no more. Brethren, sometimes we want to talk to our neighbors, but we don't know what to say. We all, though, must realize that's just like if there's an earthly fire and your family's still awake, and you know they're going to sleep through the fire if we don't do it. It is up to us to do something. It is up to us to go to our... They're not going to come to us. I actually had an elder, well, Johnny and Tom down in Texas were... They wore the title, but they didn't do anything the elders are supposed to do. Anyway, he actually said, we don't need to go out into the community and invite people to come in. We don't need to do that. Our doors are unlocked. You want to come in, hear the truth? Let them come in. What? They're not going to do it because they see no need to do it. Satan has them convinced that wherever they are and whatever they're believing or not believing, that is just fine with God. We need to wake people up. We need, now, like I said a minute ago, Satan is going to use every means at his disposal to stop us. I'm almost done. To stop us. But we can't let him. We must not let him. No one can... Well, I take it back. There is one person who can stop each of us. And there's one person who can stop me. I can stop me. They'll be all right. Or, you know, some more convenient season, I'll go over there. Brethren, no time like the present. No time like the present. As the verse says, behold, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. We need to do it today, brethren. I hope you'll all go home. Call your neighbors. Call your friends. Hey, why don't you come with us? Or ask if you can start a Bible study. Like I said a little bit ago, if you can get something set up and don't know what to say, I'll come with you. I'll go with you. I am not the all-in-all of Bible knowledge, you know, in spite of the way I remind my wife every day that I am. And she's, seriously. I think every one of us here would do whatever we can to help. But you have inroads with your neighbors, with your friends, with your relatives that I'll never have because they know you. They trust you. they know, if I could use the old expression, that your head's screwed on straight, you know? Your motives are pure. You're not out for something. So talk to them. Talk to your neighbors. Talk to your friends. Maybe have a Sunday afternoon lunch together. I'm done. I'm running over time. Sunday afternoon lunch. And, you know, okay, 2 o'clock we're going to have a neighborhood pitch-in. Everybody bring it in. We're going to eat it over at my house. And then tell them, oh, if it's okay, I'd like to invite the preacher and his wife. Or I'd like to invite one of the elders and his wife. Is it okay if they join us? Don't spring it on them because they could feel beset a little bit. Well, he didn't tell them. If I'd have known, there's got to be. But they do. But they will know. So be open about it. All we can do is try. All we can ever do with anything is our best. Brethren, we have the Lord's invitation. I mentioned the story about fire. We, if I can put it this way, allow me please, we have the fire extinguisher, don't we? It's not us, but we can get rid of their fire. How many of us would like our neighbors and our friends? One of the songs I liked to lead when I was leading singing, and I'm going to close with this, honest, was the first verse goes something, and I had a guy argue, John, I just don't like that song. The first verse goes like this. When in a better land, before the bar we stand, how deeply grieved our souls may be if any lost one there should cry in deep despair, you never mentioned him to me. The chorus goes, you never mentioned him to me. You helped me not the light to see. You met me day by day and knew I was astray, yet never mentioned him to me, brethren. We need to tell people. We have that duty. We have that responsibility to them. We have that responsibility to ourselves. Brethren, we have the Lord's invitation this morning. If you have thought about going next door or talking to your cousin or whoever, and you just, well, I don't know. If you'd like the prayers of the congregation, we're here for you. If you'd like someone to go with you, we're here for you. Don't let an opportunity pass because the stakes are too high. I've entitled this, Our Broken Timex Watches, because, brethren, spiritually speaking, we don't know what time it is, do we? We don't know. I'm, Lord willing, I will live to make it home today. But I don't know, I've not been guaranteed another 10 years, 5 years, 2 years, 6 months. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. That's why the verse says, while it is called today. There is no better time than now. If you would like the prayers of the congregation for strength, for guidance, for whatever spiritual needs you might have, we have a song selected that we're going to sing in just a moment. So if you feel subject to the Lord's call in any way, please make your needs known while together we stand and while we sing.
597.